Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, all right? Today we're continuing through our series titled The Bible, A True Story. If you've been here with us at all, you know that this isn't an extensive study through the Bible, but instead what some might call kind of a refresher or an overview, really. As we've just kind of been highlighting some of the different stories, some of the different people, and different scriptures that have been helping us to understand who God is and really who he desires us to be. Now, the interesting thing about this series, though, is that I've actually been diving into it a little deeper than I had originally planned when I started this series. When I first did a general layout of the stories and the scriptures that I had planned to talk about in this series, I wasn't planning on speaking out of Psalms or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes at all. You know, in my original outline of this series, I actually jumped from Job to Isaiah, because again, I was just giving you an overview, because you've got, you know, Psalms, it's great and full of stuff, but it's poems and songs and scriptures that you could do a lot of topical stuff on. We can be there all day. Same with Proverbs. You could go in there and there's so many things of wisdom and whatnot, but this overview, I was looking to just kind of give you an overview of the Bible. So I had planned on skipping these things, but each of these weeks, as I tried to jump into Isaiah, the Lord kept stopping me and showing me specific things that he wanted to speak, first in Psalms, then Proverbs, and now in Ecclesiastes. And like I said, the truth is we could spend months in Psalms and Proverbs, because there are so many great scriptures and topics and ideas that we could totally dive into in those books. But I got to be honest, I was really hoping to skip past the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, it's not one of the books in the Bible that I've ever spent much time in or much time really studying. It's one of those obscure, when you first read it, books of the Bible. And the thing is I skimmed through it, really just kind of looking how I was going to pass over and say, oh, yeah, it's about this, it's about that, as we head into this. But as I skimmed through it, I really was feeling that God was saying, no. I want you to speak out of Ecclesiastes. So as I kind of read through it at first, I was literally dumbfounded. What am I going to speak about as I read through Ecclesiastes? As I began to look up commentaries and thoughts on the scripture of Ecclesiastes, I realized I wasn't the only one that had these thoughts about this book. Listen to some quotes I found from pastors and theologians online in regards to Ecclesiastes. One said this: Ecclesiastes may be the most difficult book to interpret and preach. Yay me, right? Another one said Ecclesiastes is the most neglected book in the Old Testament. In fact, it may be the most neglected book in the entire Bible. Another one said, no book in the Bible has been so maligned and yet so misunderstood as the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And then one last one said, Ecclesiastes is one of the most puzzling books found in the Bible. And this is just what, you know, an uneducated pastor like myself wants to hear as I'm trying to figure out what the Lord wants to speak through me this morning. But the funny thing is the more I dove into this book, the more I studied, the more I read, the more I actually began to enjoy this book. Now, the thing is, it's a very mysterious book. And the deeper you get into it, the more questions actually arise. But I'm hoping that as I do my best to decrease this morning, that the Holy Spirit will increase and speak to us through these scriptures today. And so we're going to start this morning by reading Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to start. This is what it says. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. So there you have it. everything's meaningless. We might as well just stop there and head home now, right? And maybe we don't even need to come back anymore. I don't know. I think maybe now you can understand why I wanted to skip over this book as I kind of had skimmed through these scriptures. I mean, after all, the title of our series is The Bible, A True Story, right? So if this is true, if life is meaningless, then why should we go on? Why should we care about anything? Why do we come and meet here on Sunday mornings? But the truth is, this is one of those scriptures where we have to understand the context. We have to understand where the author or where this teacher here is coming from. And part of the problem here that I found is actually the English translation used in the scriptures. Most translations use that word meaningless. But the Hebrew word used in the original text is a word called hevel. And it's used 38 times throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And so the real question is, what the hevel, right? If you saw on the back of the bulletin, that's the title of my message today, what the hevel. And I hope I didn't offend anybody by that funny play on words. But that's really the key this morning to Ecclesiastes. What does this word hevel mean? What does this word meaningless mean in the scriptures? And I think the problem is that word meaningless doesn't actually do these scriptures justice. Because the word hevel in the Hebrew language literally means vapor or smoke. It's this idea of vapor or smoke. And so this idea that life or about life being meaningless is really this idea, I think, that life is fleeting. It's here 1 minute and gone the next, like vapor or smoke, right? It's also more of a metaphor. And I think it's this idea that smoke or vapors, these vapors that you may see for a moment, you can see them there, but you can't fully grasp, right? If you see this puff of smoke, you try to reach for it and it just kind of disappears from our hands. You can't grab hold of it. And so the teacher that it talks about here in verse 1 is sharing some very difficult realities and wisdom about this thing called life and how each of us should live that life. And really, as you go through the whole book of Ecclesiastes, there's basically three main topics or ideas that this teacher touches on throughout the book. And that's what I really want to look at this morning and really hope that the Holy Spirit can help us learn from these things this morning. And so I want to start by picking up in verse 3 of chapter 1. We started with verses 1 and 2, but let's continue now in Ecclesiastes 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 11. This is what it says. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever turning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. And so I think the first part of Ecclesiastes, this teacher is touching on this concept of time. And the real point that I want to bring is this idea that time is fleeting. Time is fleeting. It's passing. And I think verse 4 puts it into perspective when it says generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. It's the reality that our lives on this earth are really a mere blip in the scope of time. Some of us may live to be 60, 70, maybe we even live to be 100 years old, right? If you're lucky. But think about, or unlucky, I don't know. But think about this. Even if you live to be 100 years old, that is nothing in the span of eternity. 100 is nothing in the span of eternity. And I think what the teacher is trying to do here is to help bring things in perspective for all of us here on this earth. So often we see ourselves as the center of the universe, right? And we forget that we're microscopic in comparison to all of God's creation. And I think it's important that we realize the world doesn't revolve around us, right? Sometimes we think it's all about me, right? It's all about me. Who cares about anybody else? It's all about me, right? But the world doesn't revolve around us. God's plan goes way beyond our little lives. And it impacts more than any of us could ever really imagine or understand. And I think that is what the teacher here is wanting us to grab hold of, wanting us to realize, as he reminds us of how fleeting our time here on earth is. It's a vapor. It's there 1 minute and it's gone the next. Now, the next idea that I think the teacher points out throughout this book is this idea that life is unpredictable. It's unpredictable. In Ecclesiastes 7:15, I'm going to start putting some scriptures on the board now as we get to various scriptures. Board, I sound like it's a game show up on the screen here. But in Ecclesiastes 7:15, he says this: "In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these, the righteous perishing in their righteousness and the wicked living long in their wickedness." And then if you jump into Ecclesiastes 9:2, he says this: "All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them." And I think he's pointing out in some of these verses the fact that we live in a world where bad things happen to those who are evil, but bad things also happen to those who are good, right? And vice versa, good things happen to those who are good, but also good things happen to those who are bad. And throughout Ecclesiastes, this teacher talks about this random nature of life, or at least what seems random to us and to our finite minds. Where this idea that life is unpredictable, and sometimes that maybe life is out of control. And he gives this perspective that life doesn't really make sense at times, right? Any of you been there yourself? Wait, this doesn't really make sense at times. Especially, I think he hits here a little bit from a religious perspective. Because you would think that if someone was righteous and living a holy life, that they would be exempt from hurt and pain and struggles. Or again, the opposite. You would think that if someone was evil and living everything but a holy life, that you would think that they couldn't prosper. You would think that bad would happen, that they would be ones on the earth that would experience the hurt and pain, not the righteous. We see people who lie and cheat and walk all over others, and yet they excel and gain great wealth and status at times in our world. Well, on the other hand, you see those that are honest. You see people that do things the right way, yet sometimes they struggle to survive and are treated unfairly in our world. The fact is, bad things can happen to good or bad people. And good things can happen to good and bad people as well. And just because things are going good one day, right? Sometimes we're riding high. Yep, see, it must be because I'm honoring God and he's blessing my life and everything's wonderful, but things will be going good one day. But then the next day it's flipped on its head, right? Because of a natural disaster or something that happens that we're not expecting. How many of you are encouraged by Ecclesiastes this morning? Amen. Preach it. This teacher is reminding us that though we live and breathe here on this earth, we really have little control in the scope of the big picture, which leads to the final point or topic that this teacher talks about throughout the scriptures of Ecclesiastes, which is this: death is inevitable. Death's inevitable. The fact is, we're all going to die at some point, right? Unless Jesus comes back before then, we're all going to die. In verse 12 of chapter 9, he says this: "Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them." Now, this isn't a very popular topic amongst people. None of us like to think about the fact that at some point we're going to die, or the people that we love are going to die. And the truth is, death is no respecter of persons. Right? Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your race, your position in life, or anything. Some die young. Some die in their old age. Others die in between there somewhere. And though a person's lifestyle may affect that from time to time, more often than not, that isn't the case. You know, there are people that I know that have smoked their whole lives, who eat unhealthy, and they still live into their 80s and 90s. Stacy's grandpa, I always think about, he ate bacon and eggs that were cooked in bacon grease every morning. Every morning. Smoked cigars. And lived to be 93. Well, I've heard stories of people who exercise regularly and who are in tip-top shape and unexpectedly die in their 30s and 40s. The fact is, death is a part of life. It's inevitable. And the teacher here in Ecclesiastes is pointing out the fact that all of us are going to die at some time in life. None of us know the day or hour, because it can happen in any moment, at any time. So as we think about these things, these three things that this teacher is talking about, why does he share these things? What is it that he wants us to know? Why is it important for him to tell us again and again that life is hevel? That it's just a vapor that comes and goes, that passes before our very eyes? Well, I want to finish with a little response this morning to each of these ideas that the teacher had throughout Ecclesiastes. And so that's how we're going to finish. And so the first idea, this time is fleeting. So here's my question to us this morning. If this is true, if life is a vapor, if life is fleeting, question number one, what are we doing with that time? What are we doing with the time that's been given to us? Earlier, I mentioned that we often see ourselves as the center of the universe. And we forget that we're really microscopic in comparison to all of God's creation. And though I say that, I think this is where we have to be careful, because I think this is where the English translation here in Ecclesiastes can mess us up. Because yes, we are microscopic. Yes, we may just be a blip right on the screen of eternity. But our lives are not meaningless. And we have to understand that our lives are not meaningless. Now, there are meaningless things that we seek after at times in our life. Like football games on Saturday and your team that should win and doesn't, okay? Just kidding, that's outside of my notes. I need to stay focused. Lord, help me decrease so that you might increase. But the teacher actually addresses some of these things throughout his book. He doesn't talk about football, but I'm sure it's in there. But he talks about the fact that many people chase after things like wealth and power. They seek pleasure and fame. But he tells us all those things are fleeting. All those things will eventually pass away. All those things are meaningless. But we have to understand, we are not meaningless. Our lives are not meaningless. Time may be fleeting. Time may be passing before our very eyes, but God still has a plan for each of our lives. Which is why we must choose to use the time that He's given us wisely. We have to take advantage of whatever time we have, however short or however long it may be. And as I was thinking about this idea, as I was praying about this idea of using our time wisely, the Lord actually put the parable of the talent on my heart, the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25, you may remember this, Jesus tells us this parable known as the parable of the talents. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, this master leaves on a journey and he entrusts his money to three of his servants while he's gone. To one servant, it says that he gives 5 talents. To another, he gives 2 talents. And to then another, 1 talent. Now, the ones with 5 talents and 2 talents, they invest their money. And they end up doubling it before their master returns. But the one with 1 talent, he's afraid of investing and losing. And so he goes and buries that 1 talent. Now, when the master returns, the master is pleased with the 2 that have invested their money. But he isn't pleased with the one who buried it. And the whole concept of this parable that Jesus shared is that we're to be good stewards of what God has given us. And we have to use what He's given us wisely. He doesn't want us to go and bury it. He would rather us try and fail than to just go and bury, right? And so we have to use what He's given us wisely. And it dawned on me how the talents in this story could easily be looked at as time. Some of us have many years. Other of us, not as long. But the amount of time that we have isn't important. What's important is how we're using the time that He's given us. Are we using our time to seek after meaningless things for ourselves that will quickly pass away, that have no eternal value? Or are we seeking the Lord and allowing Him to guide and direct our paths so that we use our time the best way possible? Time is short on this earth. And as this teacher of Ecclesiastes points out, there are a lot of meaningless things that we can chase after and do with our time. Or we can focus on Jesus and make the most out of whatever time we do have. Time is fleeting. And so what are we doing with our time? The second thing we talked about earlier is the fact that life is unpredictable. And so the question I have this morning is, if life is unpredictable, who do we trust? Who do we trust? As I was reading through Ecclesiastes this past week, I kept finding myself reflecting back on last week's message. If you weren't here, we were in Proverbs. And I looked at the very popular scripture found in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, which says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And the part that kept coming back to me was the phrase that says, lean not on your own understanding. All throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, this teacher talks about the fact that life doesn't make sense. It's unpredictable. It's beyond our understanding. And that's because, as I mentioned last week, too, that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. He is way above us and thinks beyond anything that we can fully understand. Life, it's unpredictable. And that's because we are simple-minded people. And as I studied these scriptures, I got the impression that the teacher who wrote these things was wanting the readers to understand that life is out of our control. It's out of our control. We can think what God should do. We can have in our minds how things should work and why God should do this or why God should do that. But it's out of our control. And so the bottom line is we need to trust in the Lord. We need to surrender our desire to have control, our desire for things to go our way. We need to surrender that to Him and trust that He is God. He created all. He knows better than we know. At the very end of this book, it concludes with these final verses found in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, where it says this: "Now all has been heard." You've read all of Ecclesiastes. So here is the conclusion of the matter. And then he says this: "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Yes, life is unpredictable. And it doesn't make sense. But that's because we're nothing compared to God. We don't understand who He is and what He's doing all the time. And so bottom line, it comes back to we just need to fear God and keep His commands. We need to trust in Him and lean not on our own understanding, because He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that will bring every deed into judgment. And then the final idea we saw from this book was the fact that death is inevitable. And so the question that I have for us this morning, if death is inevitable, are we ready to die? Are we ready to die? And as we ponder that thought, let me ask another question. What would we do if we knew we only had 1 week to live? How would we spend that time that we had left on this earth, if we knew that? Now, I want to read you a little paragraph from one of Max Lucado's books titled "And the Angels Were Silent." He says this in one of the paragraphs. He says, "When a man knows the end is near, only the important surfaces. Impending death, it distills the vital, the trivial, it's bypassed. The unnecessary, it's overlooked. That which is vital remains. So if you would know Christ, ponder His final days. He knew the end was near. He knew the finality of Friday. He read the last chapter before it was written, heard the final chorus before it was sung. As a result, the critical was centrifuged from the casual. Distilled truths were taught. Deliberate deeds were done. Each step was calculated. Every act premeditated. Knowing He had just 1 week with His disciples, what did Jesus tell them? Knowing it would be His last time in the temple, how did He act? Conscious that the last sand was slipping through the hourglass, what mattered most? And he had to read on in the book to hear what he talks about in Jesus' life. But these are interesting thoughts shared here about Jesus as He Himself prepared for death. Now, the reality is Jesus is God, right? He knew His time on earth was short. And He lived His life accordingly. He didn't waste time with trivial things. He lived life with intentionality. And he was prepared when that final week, when that final day came. Now, of course, we know that final day, that death, he didn't remain dead. We know that he rose from the dead 3 days later and actually conquered sin and death, which is the whole reason why we as Christians, that we don't need to fear this worldly death that awaits all of us at some point, that is inevitable. But the truth is, we can learn a lot from the life of Jesus and how he lived, because he was ready to die. He was ready to fulfill the will of his Father. And this is true because every day of his life was spent seeking to fulfill the Father's plan. Seeking to live out his destiny. He lived life with purpose. He lived it with intentionality. And I believe the reality is God desires the same from each of us. When we live our lives with purpose, it aligns us with the Father. It aligns us with him and his will and plan for our lives. It brings us to the place of salvation through him. To that place of knowing that when that time comes, we'll be ready. But it also enables us to go and be lights that help others get ready. So what are we doing with the time that we've been given? Are we trusting the Lord in the midst of this unpredictable world? Are we living life with intentionality, knowing that at any moment it could be our last? Because I believe that's really what this book of Ecclesiastes is all about. It's understanding that life is hevel. It's a vapor that quickly fades away. And bottom line is, I believe that God desires us to make the most of it. To make the most of the life that he's given us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for challenging me not to overlook Ecclesiastes. So easy sometimes to kind of look and say, I don't understand it, Lord. Maybe I should just skip it. But that's where I love, Lord, that through the power of your Spirit, you can help me to see things and receive things that are beyond me. And that's true for all of us, Lord. That as we seek to love you, as we seek to serve you, Lord, that you can help us to see things and understand things and realize things that are beyond us. And Lord, we live in a world that is quickly passing. We live in a world that is unpredictable. We never know when our time will come, but your desire for us is that we take advantage of the time that we have. Your desire for us is that though we may not understand, we may be out of control, or things not be in our control, that we trust in you. And Lord, that we live our life to the fullest, that we take advantage of those opportunities to let our light shine through us, Lord. And that ultimately we're prepared when that day comes to spend eternity with you, Lord. I look forward to that day, Lord, when all of us, when there is no more hurt and pain on this world, and all of us can be together in your glory. But until then, Lord, you're working. Your desire is that none would perish. And so you are continuing to desire to bring people to you. You are slow and you are patient in this thing called life to see us come and see more and more people come to know you. Yeah, our time on this earth is short. But Lord, we can put our little fingerprint in that area of how we've lived and how we've done our best to serve you and make a difference in the lives of those around us. And Lord, I pray that for each of us right now. And Lord, not to even look behind us right now, because it's really easy to go, Man, I've messed up this life so far that I've lived. I haven't been faithful to do and live the way I need to live. Lord, we can't go back, but we can move forward. We can take advantage of that time that we have left, however long or short it may be. And so, Lord, help us not to look back and to get frustrated or be down about how we could have done better, but help us to focus on how we can improve and do better moving forward, Lord. And so I pray that for all of us, that, Lord, this idea of life being a vapor, this idea of time and this idea of unpredictability, Lord, that we would seek you and allow you to guide us and direct us to live the lives that you've called us to live, to be faithful, to fulfill your will in and through our lives. That's my prayer for each of us this morning. We give these things to you. Allow your word to penetrate our hearts, Lord. Those areas that you want to speak to us as individuals. Lord, I love the fact that you meet each of us where we're at. We're not all at the same level. Some of us are here or there, over there or there, wherever, everywhere. And Lord, we just are so thankful that you know right where we're at. And that you come and meet us. And that we would take those things that you're speaking to us as individuals today, and that, Lord, we would allow those to be worked in and through our life to grow in you and become who you've called us to be. We give these things to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.